Welcome back in the Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Got Weston Womp hanging with us during this 3 o'clock hour. Hoping everybody is having a safe Wednesday, that you're still practicing the distancing and just enjoying a beautiful God-given day. Well, it is a pleasure to welcome into Press Row for the very first time Tim Burchett, who represents the Knoxville area in Congress and was the Knox County mayor from 2010 to 2018. Tim, thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
Hey, well, thank y'all for giving me the opportunity. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll get it started. Being that this is a sports show, I'll throw you a sports question first. I mean, we know how valuable Vol football is to the Knoxville community and the entire state, really. I know Kirk Herbstreit, there have been some ADs that have weighed on the possibility that if a vaccine isn't out there, there may be no college football season. Have you had talks with Coach Fulmer along those lines, and just how decimating would that be? I'd imagine it'd be worse for the Auburn and Oxford-sized communities in the SEC, but how devastating would that be to Knoxville?
Economically, it'd be like an atomic bomb going off, man. It'd be awful. It's just it's a huge boost to our community and our area. And I think morale-wise, it'd even be worse. I couldn't imagine 7 Saturdays a year not being in Neyland Stadium. Couldn't imagine it. And I just think people would I don't know. I'm hoping that won't happen. I've actually got some legislation prepared dealing with encouraging folks to continue supporting their athletics through some tax breaks they used to get, and then they've done away with them in years past, and I would maybe a 1-year reprieve on that, so that would encourage people to get back involved in their college sports, because the major corporations, a lot of the wealthier folks are not going to be as wealthy when we roll out of this thing, and it's going to be a tough situation. But on the other end, I would hope these universities would remember some of these folks that dug a little deeper and be a little kinder when it comes to ticket distribution, and not just be against the wealthy, and because a lot of people like the Tim Burchetts of the world and the Weston Womps still enjoy going to a ball game and maybe can't afford a 50-yard line seat.
You're listening to Tim Burchett, the U.S. Representative for Tennessee's 2nd Congressional District. You're listening to Tim here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Well, Tim, you just unloaded the dump truck of a whole bunch of things that are amazingly interesting. I'm also curious, at what point, just from a leadership of our country level, would the importance of sports returning, not only for the entertainment value, but also for a sense of normalcy, be, regardless of whether it's soccer or NBA or God knows what it is?
Yeah, you know, my dad fought in the Second World War in the Pacific, in the Marine Corps, and today's actually the anniversary of the invasion of Okinawa, 75th anniversary, and he was on that island. I even did a little video I'm putting out later about it. And during the war, they tried to keep normalcy at home because the leaders realized America still just loves our sports, and they love our sports figures, and it's a good release, and it's a good, you know, it's mentally it's wear it out. I actually thought you all were going to ask me about being captain of the 1982 Bearden High School football team.
Well, if you do say so yourself.
Of course, you all realize, you know, as you all know, as you're Googling it, we did go 5-5. But
that's some bad calls.
You might have heard of me. I was slow, but I couldn't catch, so I had that going for me. But no, you know, our country, we there's so many different groups and so many different things. So they do rally around our sports teams, and I would hope these colleges and universities and even the pros would. And I know it's tough when you're paying these multi-million-dollar salaries, not to our college students. That's for a discussion for another day. But we are. We rally around that, and I think it's an important thing to our psyche and our mental condition that we continue to some degree of normalcy. And I would hope that we could get that worked out, that normal folks could again enjoy watching sports again very quick, because I think that's going to be part of the healing process.
Hey, Mayor, it's Weston Womp. I call you Mayor, as I think I've told you before, because I'm convinced it's the better job that you've recently had of the two. But I don't think, if I'd have told you a couple years ago, your mind would have been blown if I'd have said you're going to end up being on the floor of the House when $2.2 trillion in spending is approved, and you know, nobody, it'll probably take us years to wrap our arms around what we're doing. You referenced an atomic bomb. That was effectively the economic version of an atomic bomb. What do you see? Well, first of all, do you have any hunch? I mean, it ended up being a voice vote. Do you have a sense that some of your colleagues might have voted against it? The phase one bill got like 40 some odd no votes, and you were one of them. That's the first question. The second question is, do you have any suspicions about what a phase four package might look like?
Well, the very first vote, Weston, I voted against it, as you well know. It was a $5 billion bill, and there wasn't any really clear directive. I felt like it was what I could read of it. I had 15 minutes to read 110 pages, and I felt like it was, it was written by a group of trial lawyers. I just figured it opened up too many cans of worms. Then it went to the Senate, and in their wisdom, they fixed it. And then we ended up passing it on a voice vote 100%, or the corrected version, which is what we should have done in the first place. You know, we used to stay in the state legislature where I spent 16 years. Go a little slower, we'll get there a little faster. And we should have slowed it down so we could have had some discussion. But Ms. Pelosi, she had to get it passed, and of course, the Senate wasn't going to take it up to the next week. And then she delayed the next version for 3 days so she could get $25 million in there for the Kennedy Performing Arts Center, which, oddly enough, they just turned around and fired all their musicians, which to me is just crazy. So, and then now I've been in conversation with leadership, and Kevin McCarthy, our leader, says that he thinks that we don't need a fourth version just yet, because we really need to see what's going to happen with this third version. Let's make sure we get it right. And I agree, because our printing press, that's the business you need to be in Washington, is in the ink and paper business, because they're just printing up money that's going to be worthless if we're not careful. You know, we talked about paying down the deficit, and then, boom, we add $2 to $3 trillion onto it. And it could be possibly more, because some of these programs, as you well know, there's never a temporary program in government. Even when they put a limit on it, it's tough for politicians to vote to limit it. So I stand with McCarthy. I say, let's see what this last one did, and let's get it implemented. You know, we've got problems with our SBA computers. They've been down. I wrote a letter to the president and the head of the SBA to get it fixed. There's no excuses. I mean, that's just 101. You got people that business who said we're going to allow for these loans, and then they can't get to it. It's just typical federal government bureaucracy, and we just don't have time for that kind of nonsense. So I hope that we can clarify some of that.
Hey, what's life like? I've wondered this a little bit. What's life like for you guys? I mean, I grew up around life as a congressman, but it's when you're at home, you're event to event to event, and obviously when you're in D.C., you're busy. But you can't be in D.C. Yep. right now, and there's no events going on. Your life's got to feel a little weird, huh?
Well, yeah, it's really weird. The sports radio show is calling me and talking to me about the coronavirus. I mean, I'll tell you something else that's weird. I went to a Chick-fil-A yesterday, and they got my order wrong.
Oh, my God! The coronavirus is winning!
Yeah, they are. I was like, I was going to tweet it, but then I thought people would say, oh, Burchett, you're just, you know, oh, that's really tough on you, Burchett. I'm out of a job. I let it slide, but maybe one of y'all can use that at some point. but anyway, I don't even remember what the question was. I got off on my Chick-fil-A. Oh, how it's different. It's completely different. We're not in D.C. It's conference calls all day long. Different people. We were on with the president's doctor, what's his name, Farouk?
Fauci,
yeah. We were on with him this morning. We're on with Secretary of the Treasury. You know, we've been on with everybody. Occasionally the president will come in, or the vice president, we can ask him questions and things. So it's just, it's an all-hands-on-deck kind of thing. and you're seeing a lot of the partisanship melt away, at least on our side. You know, we were talking about the funding program. I was watching people speak, and I was noticing the Democrats were just railing on us about things in the bill. And I was like, you all have the majority in the House. Why are you, you know, you upheld it 3 days, and all you got was funding for the Kennedy Center and some other garbage that didn't have anything to do with it. Why are you wailing on us? You should be wailing on your own leadership. But, you know, I understand politics, and I was proud of a lot of our members who kept it on the up and up. So it's changed a whole lot, though. I mean, we're not in D.C., obviously, every day of the week. And you don't see your constituents. That's why I put my number out on the Internet, on Twitter, because in our community we've lost 9 people to suicide just in the last few days. I mean, that's just inexcusable. And, you know, I've contacted our preachers and people of worship, houses of worship, said, have your deacons and your elders call people, divide your congregations up, and just call people. I've had over 1,000 phone calls and wow, several thousand texts from people all over the country since I put my number out on Twitter. Just people just want to talk, man. They're just they don't know what to do, and they're stressed out. And first thing I tell them to do is turn off the dadgum television, man. Just, you know, do not listen to that, because it's just bad news. I remember my mama used to say, I can't imagine making my living off the suffering of others. And that's exactly what the press, the national media, is doing right now. There are great stories out there, people doing great things, front lines. They're just doing their jobs and taking care of business. But, you know, the press is, that does, and they'll tell you, well, good news doesn't sell. And I say, well, Andy Griffiths is on 150 different languages and countries all over the world.
And Barney Fife is funny in every doggone one of them.
You're dadgum right, he is. So anyway, I'm sorry I'm wound up, guys.
No, hey, and Tim, we're going to end this on an upbeat thing. We appreciate you joining us. When we have great guests like you, we love to close with a rapid fire, just first thing off the top of the head. Ready to play?
Go.
Favorite Tennessee football player of all time?
Condridge Holloway.
Ooh, good one.
Best high school football player you ever saw or played against?
One of the Cofer brothers.
Okay. Least favorite team in the SEC?
Least whoever's playing Tennessee at the time.
Your favorite movie that is about Washington politics?
Let's see. Wedding Crashers? I don't know. I'm trying to think. There's not any good ones about you know, the American president. There's a couple. I don't know, guys. I don't watch. My movies are like inspirational. The World's Fastest Indian, Ford versus Ferrari. You know, I mean, I'm like a, you know, because I'm a motorcycle car guy, and I like and Tucker the Man and His Machine. Those are kind of cool movies. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Your political idol growing up?
It'd have to be probably my father. After that, probably got a little older, was Ronald Reagan.
All right. Well, this is great. When can we call you again?
Anytime you want to, brother. Y'all pay my salary. Anyway, Weston's got all my numbers anyway.
Well, listen,
hey, just don't put me in a picture beside Weston Wop. If I looked as good as him, I'd run for king. every member of his family, every member of his family is good looking. His mama, his dad, his sister, him. I mean, you know, what is it with these wumps? They got the good looks, they got perfect teeth, and they're all, you know, and they'll talk like they're Phi Beta Kappa. I don't get it.
Well, the girls whip the boys in that family from the looks department, in my opinion. But
yeah, that's true. They do look better in a dress, I'll tell you that. I've seen less than one, and, you know.
Tim, listen, thank you so much for taking the time. Thank you for all that you're doing, and we really appreciate you joining us down here in Chattanooga on Press Row.
Hey, thanks, brother. And since this is a call-in show, I'll say, hey, I'll hang up and listen to your answers.
Thank you, Tim. Tim Burchett, U.S. Representative for the 2nd Congressional District, obviously overseeing Knoxville. We are going to shift from Tim. That's going to be hard to top. But we're going to go, when we come back, Steve Myers, the iRacing Executive Vice President and Executive Producer, talking about the fad that is taking over Sunday afternoon sports viewing. You're listening to Press Row, ESPN 105.1, The Zone.